give a very warm welcome to each one of you to the Lord's house this morning here at Sandown. And any who are visiting online, you're listening, I trust the Lord will bless as well through the internet. But just before we come to the opening hymn, we're going to seek the Lord's face in prayer. Let's seek the Lord, praying earnestly that the Lord will speak to us, and that as we leave, that we will know that the Lord has spoken personally to our hearts, that our hearts have been blessed as a result of being in his presence today. So let's seek the Lord's face in prayer. We're very grateful that we are able to come with boldness to the throne of grace, and we thank the Lord for all your benefits toward us, for the return of the Lord's Day, and like the psalmist, the gladness to come to the house of the Lord. We ask for thy presence, for thy glory to fill this place. We ask, Lord, that thou shalt meet with us here, and thou shalt be pleased to bless and to smile richly upon us. Help us now to adore thee, to worship thee in spirit and in truth, yea, in the beauty of holiness. We ask thee to come and to reveal thyself to each and every heart. We pray, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're turning, please, to the hymn. It's 621. If you have the hymn book, if not, the words will be on the wall here. 621, a wonderful hymn. We love the place, O God, wherein thine honor dwells, the joy of thine abode, all earthly joy excels. These five verses, and we'll sing, and we'll stand, please, as we sing. We're taking just a few moments now to seek the Lord's face in prayer. Thy house shall be called a house of prayer. And it is wonderful to carry everything to the Lord in prayer. Let's just pray for his presence, his power, his blessing upon his word today. Let's remember the word faithfully preached here today and also elsewhere, where the name of Christ will be uplifted. Let's pray for such congregations today. We bless thee, Heavenly Father, for the throne of grace, for the mercy seat, and that the way has been opened for us to come with boldness. We have confidence, with confidence I now draw nigh. Abba, Father, cry. We thank thee for acceptance in the Beloved. We rejoice that we have an advocate with thee, Jesus the righteous. He is highly exalted. He has received a name which is above every name. We bless thee that he has finished that great work of redemption that we have through his blood, that even now, Father, at your right hand, he ever liveth to make intercession for us. We are grateful that we have come this Lord's Day morning to the house of the Lord, that even as the hymn writer we can say, how amiable are thy tabernacles, how lovely are thy dwelling places. Lord, we're so glad that we are gathered in thy name. Thou hast promised that where two or three are gathered in thy name, there am I in the midst of them. Lord, may this place be a Bethel. May it be the house of God. May it be that as we come and as we meditate upon thy word, we pray for that preparation of our heart that belongeth unto thee, O God. Lord, we ask thee to break up the fallow ground. We are asking that the good and the precious seed of your word shall abide within our hearts, and that the Holy Spirit will take what is said of thee, and that he will write that truth even upon our hearts. Lord, do speak, and may we hear. For we are listening, Lord, to thee. We're asking that we shall have a circumcised ear, and that thou shalt speak, and that each and every one of us will hear carefully what the Lord would say to our souls. Lord, we do remember once again our own minister. We thank thee very much for sending him as an ambassador for Christ. And we thank thee for his labor, for his work of faith that he has showed toward thy name here at Sanding Road, here in this place of worship. Lord, we pray for your healing touch to be upon his body. We pray for the blessing of the Lord, which is rich and out of no sorrow with it, to be upon his heart, his soul, his life. And do you remember Isaac? May it be that very soon that he will be sufficiently recovered to be with us here in the courts of thy house. Bless Rachel and also Kirsten and Leah. Lord, we ask that thou shall put a wall of fire around and about this house. Lord, we do remember today and thy word brought to the children in our Sunday school, in our Sabbath school. We rejoice that the entrance of thy word giveth light. Lord, we would pray for each and every child that has come, that what has been said of thee by the Sunday school teachers, the Spirit of the Lord will take the truth concerning Christ and testify to their hearts. May they not only see their sin, but see one who is mighty to save their souls from eternal death. Lord, we ask that as brands from the burning, that they will be rescued, that they will remember their Creator in the days of their youth, that they will know the Lord and love and fear him and serve him all the days of their life. Do remember as well the youth. And we thank thee, Lord, for your presence with us today. And we ask that even on the Friday, thou shalt richly bless as they gather in your name. Thou shalt give help to the one that shall speak. Lord, we pray for the friend and the family service this evening. And we pray for our brother Ford as he would testify, and our brother John as he will also minister in song. We ask, Lord, that each one of them will receive the fresh oil, and that they shall know what it is to be endued with power from on high. Lord, as thou didst speak to many through the testimony of the woman of Samaria, Lord, we pray thou shalt speak to many hearts tonight through the testimony of your dear servant Ford. And we thank thee that in adversity that he has known, that he has proved the grace and the faithfulness and the goodness of the Lord. So we pray, do abide with us today. May your glory just fill this house. May each and every one of us be truly blessed of thee. Lord, we asked all these things this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. We're turning now, please, to our reading. And it's in 1 Samuel chapter 10 and the verse 17 as we commence to read. 1 Samuel chapter 10 and the verse 17. And we'll read to the end of this chapter, please. 1 Samuel chapter 10 and the verse 17 as we commence. Just give you a moment to turn to it in your Bible. And it's 1 Samuel chapter 10, reading from verse 17. And Samuel called the people together unto the Lord to Mizpah, and said unto the children of Israel, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought up Israel out of Egypt, and delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all kingdoms, and of them that oppressed you. And ye have this day rejected your God, who himself saved you out of all your adversities and your tribulations. And ye have said unto him, Nay, but set a king over us. Now therefore present yourselves before the Lord by your tribes and by your thousands. And when Samuel had caused all the tribes of Israel to come near, the tribe of Benjamin was taken. When he had caused the tribe of Benjamin to come near by their families, the family of Matri was taken, and Saul the son of Kish was taken. When they sought him, he could not be found. Therefore they inquired of the Lord further, if the man should yet come thither. And the Lord answered, Behold, he hath hid himself among the stuff. They ran and fetched him thence. When he stood among the people, he was higher than any of the people from his shoulders and upward. Samuel said unto all the people, See ye him whom the Lord hath chosen, that there is none like him among all the people. And all the people shouted and said, God save the king. Then Samuel told the people the manner of the kingdom, wrote it in a book, laid it up before the Lord. Samuel sent all the people away, every man to his house. And Saul also went home to Gibeah, and there went with him a band of men whose hearts God had touched. But the children of Belial said, How shall this man save us? And they despised him and brought him no presents, but he held his peace. Amen. May the Lord bless to each one of us this morning his precious word. I'm now going to call upon our brother Paul Roberts, if he would come, please, with the announcements. Thank you.
Well, on behalf of the Reverend Wilson, we do welcome you in the Saviour's name along to our morning worship service. We're so glad to see each one gathered out. And also for those who are maybe watching online at our services, we welcome you to our fellowship here and trust that each one will know the Lord's blessing upon their lives today. A very special welcome to our brother Dines. Dines, you Pritchard, for standing in very quickly through this week. And we just appreciate Dines. And we just ask that you may pray for Dines, especially at this time also, as Dines lost an uncle this week, and do remember him and Jenny in your prayers, please. And so it's a special welcome and a thank you to our brother Dines for preaching with us today. Today is Missionary Council Retiring Offering Sunday, and you can place your offerings in the missionary box in the hallway as you leave. And then announcements for through the day and the incoming week. Today at 2:30, p.m. is the recommencement of Hollywood Sunday School in the Redburn Community Centre. Do continue to pray for the Sunday School there in Hollywood. 6:30 p.m., again, we welcome you back to your family and friends. Gospel service and our speaker, as our brother Dines has been praying for him, Mr. Ford Arnold, and we're looking forward to that service tonight. The soloist tonight will be Mr. John Porter. And then for all those who are going on the hike up the Mourns this coming Saturday, we're asking that you wait behind just for a little time after the evening service, just for a bit of a chat before that comes around. So all those going on the hike or a walk, I don't know which one it's going to be, but you can let me know when you've finished it, see what you think it was. So please do wait behind for those that are going on that this evening after the service. Then on Tuesday, 7 p.m., we have the recommencement of our Explorers Bible Club. Do continue to pray for that work on Tuesday night as we welcome the boys and girls back into the meeting rooms upstairs. Then on Thursday at 8 p.m., we have our Bible study and our prayer meeting, and our speaker will be our own minister, the Reverend Wilson. The subject, Is There Any Hope for the Church? We're looking forward, God willing, to the return of our pastor, and do continue to pray for him and his family in these days. The Lord's Table will also be observed after that service on Thursday evening. Then Saturday, for the Walk Up the Mourns, leaving the church here at 8:30 a.m. And if you're going, you haven't already given your name to Connor, please do that today, please. Next Sunday the 19th of September, we commence today at 10:15 a.m. with Sunday School and Bible class, 11:30 a.m. morning worship, Hollywood Sunday School at 2:30, and 6:30 p.m. the gospel service. Speaker at both of those services will be our own minister, the Reverend Wilson, singer, Mr. David Warwick. Then just keep in mind these few upcoming dates. The special offering for the minibus appeal will be next Sunday, the 19th of September. And just on that, I've been asked to announce that there will be envelopes left on each seat next Sunday for you to use for this special appeal. So any money you wish to put towards the minibus appeal, please put it in the envelope marked minibus. And those envelopes will be on the pews, spare ones available as well. Please remember to seal the envelopes as well. And if you wish to gift aid your contribution, please put your free will offering number on it as well. Then put the minibus appeal envelopes into the main offering boxes as you leave church. If you put money to go towards the minibus appeal into the loose offerings, that will not be counted towards the minibus. So please do keep these things in mind. I hope I've explained that well, but our pastor will explain that much easier and better next Lord's Day. Then there will be a meeting for session and committee on Tuesday, the 21st of September at 8:15 p.m. Our Bible conference that we're looking forward to on the 23rd, 24th, and 26th of September, the speaker, the Reverend Roger Higginson. And then the rescheduled baptismal service is on Thursday, the 30th of September at 8 p.m. in our Hillsborough Church. Finally, we want to wish one of our young people the Lord's blessing, God's richest blessing upon her life as she sets off on a new adventure. As it is, our young sister Annie Rose will be heading off to university in Dundee. And so we pray that Annie will just know the Lord's blessing in her life and upon her life as she continues her studies there in Dundee. Do remember all of our young people in your prayers in these days, but especially Annie Rose as she leaves this week. Do continue to remember all those who are unwell. Remember the shut-ins and our elderly. And also, as you will be well know by now, you can continue to place your offering and your tithes in the boxes that are available as you leave. Just a little card to read. Thanks to the session and committee of Sandown Church. This is to say thank you for such a lovely day at our church barbecue. This seems so long ago, but we're just reading this out today. Everything went very well and was enjoyed by all. Thank you for the lovely flowers and chocolates. I will enjoy them and think of you all when eating the chocolates. I especially thank you for your kindness very, very much indeed. Here's looking forward to the next one. Indeed, yours in Christ, Irene. And again, a special belated thank you to Irene and to all those who played such a part for that great day that we had. And now, our brother Dines, we trust the Lord will bless you. Thank you so much for being here today, and the Lord bless you in the ministry of the work today. God bless you.
Appreciate Paul making those announcements, and I would ask please if you would turn in your Bible to 1 Samuel chapter 10. We'll be looking at the verse 26, some of these words in verse 26, the last five words of verse 26, whose hearts God had touched. What a challenge. As I read that scripture recently with regard to this group of men who followed after Saul, the son of Kish, and it says, whose hearts the Lord had touched. That certainly is my personal need, that the Lord would continue to touch my heart, and I trust it will be so for every one of us. Let's seek the Lord's face, please, just for a moment in prayer. We're grateful, Lord, for the fact that we know thy presence with us here this morning. And now, as we come to the word of the Lord, we would pray that thou would break to us the bread of life. Thou art our great and our good shepherd, our chief shepherd. Come and lead us into green pastures. Bring us, O Lord, beside the still waters. Feed us with the finest of the wheat. And we ask that our souls will be satisfied as we consider Christ, as we think upon him. Remember me for good. Without thee I can do nothing, but my sufficiency is of God. I pray that thou shalt come, O God. Thou shalt fill me, Lord, with the Holy Ghost and with power. I can do all things through Christ, who strengtheneth me. Be unto me all that I would need. May the hand of the Lord be upon me. May Christ be glorified. May thy great name be honored in this service. Do undertake now. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The prophet Samuel is sent by the Lord to the house of Jesse in Bethlehem. And he sent so that he would anoint one of the sons of Jesse with oil, that he might be the second king of Israel. And as he went, the Lord instructed Samuel. The Lord is saying to him, look, I do not choose men as men will choose men. For they will look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh upon the heart. You may remember when Samuel went to the home of Jesse, and the eldest son, Eliab, came before the prophet of the Lord. He thought in his heart, this is the Lord's choice. This is the Lord's man. He looked at his height, his stature. He looked at his countenance, his face. And he said, surely this is the Lord's choice. Well, the Lord's choice was David, the youngest son of Jesse. You see, the Lord was seeking a man after his own heart. David, the Lord looked upon his heart. He was a man after God's own heart. And so it was in the public ministry of the Lord Jesus. He looked upon the heart, even of religious men, men who were considered to be godly in Israel. I speak of scribes and Pharisees. What did the Lord say of them? He pronounced a woe upon them. Matthew chapter 23, the Lord said, outwardly, you're as whited sepulchres, whited tomb sepulchre, beautiful on the outward appearance. And so it was with these men. Outwardly, they appeared beautiful. But the Lord said, inwardly, and notice that's the most important, inwardly, dead man's bones. In the tomb, there is death, decay, there is corruption. Man looketh on the outward appearance. He might see beauty and something fair, but the Lord looketh in the heart of each and every one of us. Here in this portion this morning, it is speaking of Saul, and how that Saul, he was chosen to be the first king of Israel. What is it saying here of Saul when he returned to Gibeah, which was north of Jerusalem, a short distance from the holy city of Jerusalem? It speaks about a band of men, a group of men. But do you notice what it is saying? Whose hearts God had touched. They pursued, they followed after Saul because the Lord had put it into their heart. The Lord had touched their heart. Brethren and sisters, that certainly is the great need this morning, the Lord to touch our hearts. And I believe when the Lord touches our hearts, that will produce within us a broken heart. This is what, first of all, our own pastor minister was speaking upon a few Lord's days ago. Psalm 51, a psalm of David. But it is a psalm of contrition. And in that verse 17 of Psalm 51, he says, "A broken and a contrite spirit heart thou shalt not despise." So the Lord does not despise a broken heart. And that's what we need, the Lord to touch our hearts and our heart to be broken. David here on this occasion, his heart was broken. He knew about sin in his life, for he had committed adultery with Bathsheba. He knew that there was murder in his heart, for he was responsible for the life of Uriah the Hittite being taken. But do you notice that it was through the word of the Lord that David's heart was broken? The Lord sent Nathan, his messenger, his prophet, and he told David a parable. It's recorded there in 2 Samuel chapter 12. A rich man, and he is prosperous. He has flocks, he has many cattle, and a poor man, he has but one ewe. What does the rich man do when a traveler comes? He takes the poor man's ewe and he offers it to his traveler. David is angry, and David says, "This man shall die." But the prophet is saying, "You are the man. What you have done, you have taken another man's wife. He had only one wife. You have taken Bathsheba's husband, Uriah. You have taken Uriah's wife, Bathsheba, as your wife. You have done the wrong." What was it that the prophet said to David on this occasion? He said, "Thou art the man." It was a personal word through the word of the Lord to the heart of David, and it pierced his heart. It broke his heart asunder. He realized the folly of his heart, the wickedness of his heart, what he had done before the Lord. I trust that the Lord's word will be a hammer, and the Lord's word will break the hardness of our hearts in pieces where there is sin, where there is iniquity, where there is transgressions. You know, that's the reason the Lord Jesus came into this world. Isaiah tells us in the chapter 61, verse 1, Christ came to heal the brokenhearted. And if you acknowledge today, "There's sin in my heart," may the Lord grant to us each one a broken and a contrite heart. The Lord reproves through his word, through a gracious word. The Lord reproves us of our sin. And we need to acknowledge our sin. But we need to see that Christ is the answer. He is able to bind up our broken heart. And when David here speaks of a broken and a contrite heart, he is speaking of a brokenness here which is not slight but severe. You know, when something is broken in pieces, severely damaged, it cannot be repaired by anybody but someone who is experienced and professional. You try to put your hand to it and repair it, and I am sure, like myself, you would not be able to achieve a very good result. But I can recall that even in my home, something that we delighted in, a wall clock, it belonged to my wife's father, and it was treasured. And it had the pride of place upon the wall. But when we moved, the clock was broken to pieces. I could not repair it, but I had to go to a clockmaker, someone who would be able to fix it. And after a little bit of time and patience, they produced the clock restored, repaired originally as it had been. It's back up on the wall again. But you see, it was broken in pieces. I was not able to repair it. I had to go to the right person, someone who was qualified. And when we see sin in our hearts and the word of the Lord reproving us, I trust that there is true repentance. There is the rending of the heart. There is a sorrow of heart over sin. We will run, we will flee to the Lord Jesus Christ, for he is able to heal our souls, our sick souls. So here in this portion, in Psalm 51, when David speaks about a broken and a contrite heart and spirit, O God, thou shalt not despise, he speaks about a new heart. O create within me a new heart. I trust that you and I will know this day what it is for us to have that broken and that contrite heart. But notice this as well. David's heart was repaired, restored when there was confession over his sin. The Lord sent his messenger to reprove him of his sin. But this psalm of contrition, it is speaking to us about how he confessed his sin. Or did he not say here in this psalm, in the verse 4, against thee only, have I sinned and done all this evil in thy sight? Here is David. He is acknowledging with his mouth. He is confessing. It's against thee. Yes, it was against Uriah. I took a man's life. I left him on the battlefield. It was a deliberate action. I knew what my soldiers were doing. But he acknowledges it's far greater. For my sin is against the Lord, against thee only. Have I sinned and done all this evil in thy sight? What a promise the Lord gives to us. In Romans chapter 10, verse 9. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shall believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. We need confession. Not to a priest, but to the great high priest. To the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to go to him and we need to acknowledge our sin. Confession. But then there's cleansing. What a psalm is this? Psalm 51. Read through it very carefully and you will see spiritual cleansing from sin. The verse 2 and 7 in particular of this Psalm 51. In the verse 2, he says, wash me thoroughly, throughly from mine iniquity. And in the verse 2, cleanse me from my sin. Verse 7, purge me with hyssop. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, this gracious word, the Lord is saying, your sin can be forgiven and pardoned for Jesus' sake. There's washing, there's cleansing, there's purging. That is found in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Though your sins be as scarlet, they can be whiter than the snow. And at Calvary at the cross, a fountain has been opened for sin and for uncleanness. William Cowper, he was known for his depression. Yet when he was in that asylum at St. Albans, a friend witnessed to him and told him of Christ. And it was there he emphasized the friend those words in Zechariah's prophecy, chapter 13, verse 1. In that day, a fountain shall be opened for sin and for uncleanness. William Cowper realized Christ is the answer to the need of my heart, to the need of my mind. He's able to renew my mind. He's able to give me the peace of God that passeth all understanding. You see, William Cowper found cleansing at the cross, at Calvary, through the shedding of Jesus' precious blood. And I trust this morning the Lord may touch our hearts and even the heart of the unconverted in this meeting. If you are here listening to the word of God, may the Lord break your heart asunder in so many pieces that you see reform will not do. I cannot do it, but I need Christ. He is able to heal my broken heart. May you come and confess. May you see there is cleansing. Though your sins are as scarlet, whiter than snow they may be. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, his conversion, the 6th of January, 1850, and he was at that service in a primitive Methodist church in Colchester. Yet as he left and as the snowflakes fell, they whispered, your sins were as scarlet, for they are whiter than the snow. Why? He looked to Christ and he lived. He was changed. He was a new creature. You see, there was confession. He realized, I am that man, that wretched, that sinful man. But he realized there is cleansing for me, and his blood is able to make me whiter than the snow. Whose hearts the Lord touched. May he touch your heart. May it be that our heart will be broken. Broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou shalt not despise. Psalm 51:17. But there is something else here. A burning heart. Whose hearts the Lord touched. Yes, my heart needs to be broken over personal sin that there is in my life. Thou seest me, thou lookest upon the heart, cannot cover it, cannot hide it from the Lord. But there needs to be a burning heart. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, we have the record of two disciples of the Lord. Cleopas, one is named, the other is not named. But they're on a journey from Jerusalem to Emmaus. It's a short journey. Northwest of Jerusalem to Emmaus, 7 miles. But what did they say? Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us in the way? Their hearts were touched. They had a burning heart. The Lord Jesus caused their heart to burn. And are you like those two disciples? Are we like those two disciples? They were downcast. You read the incident and you will see the Lord said, as you walk, ye are sad. Where did he see the sadness? In their countenance, in their face, their demeanor. He knew that they were downcast. And if you are downcast, the Lord would say to you, why art thou downcast? Hope, trust in the Lord. Psalm 42, he repeats that time and time again, the psalmist. He is saying to the downcast, the downtrodden, he is saying, hope, trust in the Lord, for your help will surely come from the Lord. These two disciples were not only downcast, they were discouraged. Events recently in the holy city, the passion, the death of Christ, one whom they regarded as a teacher, their friend, he had been put to death cruelly on a cross, but they're downcast and they are discouraged because they did not understand the work of the Lord Jesus, the purposes of God. They did not understand the purpose of his death, dying for the ungodly, dying for their sin, giving his life a ransom for many, purchasing his church with his own blood. It was a mystery to them. They could not understand the significance of Christ's death. You may be at this service this morning, and I trust the Lord will warm your heart, cause your heart to burn. Events recently that have taken place in your life personally, you don't understand. You say, as for God, his way is a mystery. I do not understand how he is leading me or someone else in the family. But remember, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. You can trust the Lord. He'll show it to you. He'll reveal it to you in due time. Not only were they downcast and they were discouraged, but they were also disobedient, these two disciples. For where did the Lord want them to be? Jerusalem. The Lord said, tarry, wait in Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. They're leaving that place, Jerusalem, and they're heading out to Emmaus. Yet the command of the Lord was to tarry. They're disobedient to the will of the Lord. May we always love God's commandments. Keep those things that the Lord would have us to do. Remember that they got back to Jerusalem and the day of Pentecost came suddenly. A mighty wind. They were revived. These two disciples were there in that upper room with the other disciples. They were truly blessed. But what a meeting for them. Here they are. This is their condition. But in a moment when the Lord drew near and went with them on that journey, their hearts were revived. Their hearts were quickened. Their hearts were changed spiritually for good. And the Lord used his word. He opened to us the scriptures. He revealed himself from the prophets, the Psalms and the law. He spake of things concerning himself. Brethren, sisters, if you're downcast, discouraged, disobedient to the will of the Lord, turn to the Word of God. Keep reading. Keep meditating upon God's Word. For it is as you read and as the Holy Spirit comes and opens your understanding to the Scriptures, your heart will burn within you once again. You will be revived. You will be quickened. So I trust that you and I will see how relevant the word of the Lord is, the Holy Scriptures. What did Jeremiah say? In the chapter 23, and I believe that verse 29, he says that God's word is like a fire. This is what happened to these disciples. They're saying, did not our heart burn within us? How did their hearts burn? Fire from the word of God. God's word opened to them by the Lord Jesus caused their hearts to burn within. And that is certainly our need. So if someone is here this morning, and if you say, I need my heart to be touched of the Lord, needs to burn again, do see what you have neglected, the means of grace. If you have neglected the means of grace, your heart is cold. It's not what it should be toward the Lord Jesus. When I speak of the means of grace, I'm speaking about the reading of the Holy Scriptures, the Word of God. Have you neglected the reading of your Bible? It's caused your heart to become cold, spiritually cold, indifferent toward the Lord. You used to meditate. You loved His commandments. They were sweeter than honey to your taste. You meditated, you pondered over the Lord's sayings. Is it not true that the Bible now has become a closed book to you? You set it aside. You rarely lift and read it and ask, Spirit of God, my teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me. The cause of the heart getting cold is neglecting the means of grace. The reading of the Word of God. Do not neglect, child of God, in these days of busyness, activity, to read the Bible, the Word of God. And then there's something else. Have you neglected the place of prayer? That's a means of grace. You know, in private and in public, it's possible to neglect the place of prayer. When you think of your home, the private closet, that place alone with the Lord, where you got down on your knees and you sought the Lord's face in prayer, you would have to say, I have neglected that means of grace. I have neglected that place of prayer. Seeking the Lord's face, speaking to Him face to face, as a friend speaketh to a friend. Remember, it is no vain thing for the Lord's people to seek His face. There is profit. There's a great spiritual blessing. For they that wait upon the Lord renew their strength. We need our inner strength to be renewed by the Lord. We need to wait in the place of prayer. What about public prayer and the prayer meeting? Is your seat empty? Have you neglected your seat? That ought not to be so. It is imperative, as I have said already, God's house is a house of prayer. We need to pray. We need to gather in His name. We need to seek His face earnestly. Bring causes, strong arguments before the Lord in prayer. It reminds me of visitors to the Tabernacle in London. And as they were greeted by Charles Haddon Spurgeon, he would say, come, I will bring you to the basement room. But this is the powerhouse. It was the saints upon their knees, seeking the Lord in prayer. And that phrase is so true. Much prayer, much blessing. If we continually want to know God's blessing, and we do, upon His work here, we need to be praying. Not only at home, with our family, in the closet, but it is imperative that we come to this season of prayer midweek, and we're found here in the place of prayer. One last thing that we can neglect that causes the heart to grow cold: not only the reading of the Bible, the place of prayer, but the fellowship of the saints, God's people. My Bible tells me, iron sharpeth iron. And it's in Proverbs chapter 27, 17. What is it saying about God's people? They can help us. They can comfort, strengthen us, edify us through fellowship with God's people. There is great profit fellowshipping with the people of God. You'll notice the church at Jerusalem in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it states four things they continued in: the apostles' doctrine, breaking of bread, but it says fellowship and in prayer. They continued in fellowship. They saw how important fellowship was, and I trust we will see how important the fellowship of the saints is as well. One occasion, a pastor visited the home of a member of his church by the name of John. He hadn't been to the services in the church for some time. His heart had become cold. And as he received, the pastor invited him into the front room. He said, "Sit there on that chair beside the open fire." And the two of them sat on the chairs at the open fire, but the pastor didn't speak a word. And the two of them were watching the open fire and the coals, and they were glowing and they were bright. But the pastor got up, and he took a live coal, a burning coal, from the fire, and he set it on the hearth. And as they watched, John and the pastor, the coal grew cold. You see, it had been separated from the other coals, and it got cold. But then a little later, he lifted the tongs and he put the coal back in the fire. And in no time, it was glowing again. It was warm. And that day, when the pastor left the home, John simply said, "Pastor, thank you for the fire sermon. The Lord had spoken to him." And he said, "I'll be at the service on Sunday. I'll be out again." So I trust you see how important it is to be in God's house. How important it is for you to be here, not only on the Lord's Day, morning, evening, midweek, fellowship, seeking out the fellowship of the saints, those of like precious faith. That ought to be what we desire, what we long for, to walk with such individuals in our lives. And it was the Apostle Paul, in his letter to the church at Corinth, you remember how that he likened God's people to a body. We have a head, Christ, but the body has many members. And what is he saying? He is saying in that portion of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, every member of that body is necessary. You can't do without any. The small, the large, it helps the body to function. So it is the fellowship of the church. You may say, "I'm insignificant." No, you're not. You're necessary. You're needful. We need you in the fellowship and in the work. So I trust that you and I will see we need a burning heart. We need our heart to be warm. And can I say, if you look at the thermostat, the thermometer, and if you read the temperature and you can look at it and say, there's the mercury, there's the level, it's warm today, it's cold. Look at your life. Read the thermometer. Are you hot or are you cold? To the Lord, before the Lord. But there's one last thing I want you to notice very quickly here, and it is this. a burdened heart. We need the broken heart, the contrite heart. We need a burning heart. We need the Lord to touch the heart. But we need a burdened heart. The hymn that we will sing in a moment, one of the verses says, I want, dear Lord, a soul on fire for thee. And the hymn writer is speaking about a concern for the unconcerned. He wanted a burden for the lost and a burden for precious souls. And as I think of the ministry, in particular of the Apostle Paul, Saul of Tarsus, I want to read two verses of Scripture just to you from Romans 9 and Romans 10. Romans 9, verse 2, did he not have a burdened heart? This is what he is saying of his kinsmen of Israel. He is saying of that people, chapter 9, verse 2, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. He's speaking about a burdened heart for his kinsmen, for Israel. And in chapter 10, verse 1, he clarifies it and says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. He's opening his heart and he's saying, this is my heart's desire. This is what I long for concerning Israel, that they might be saved, that they might know Christ and be acquainted with him. You know, that's the reason Paul, with his burden, no matter what city he went to, he's in the synagogue. He's opening and alleging from the Scriptures that Jesus is the Christ. He has a burden for his fellow men. He's speaking to them of Christ. And when he went to a city by the riverside, Lydia, by the riverside, he went to that place because he knew the women frequent there. He's a burden for the souls of others. And you'll also discover when he was at Athens in Acts chapter 17, he's in the marketplace, a busy place, but he's there to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. A burden for the lost for souls. You may say, I cannot reach everyone. And that is true, we cannot. But we can reach someone. We can reach someone, some dear soul in sin for the Savior. William Chambers Burns, last 20 years of his life was spent in China. He went there and he had a burden not only for India but China. And he labored there with Hudson Taylor, China Inland Mission. But you know, even from a young age in his teens, 16, what a burden he had for souls. When he was in Glasgow with his mother, he got separated from his mother. She found him in an alleyway, and he's weeping, he is crying. She asks, what aileth thee, lad? What's wrong? He said, it's the tramp, tramp of Christless feet on the road to a Christless eternity, and it grieves my heart. I must say, Lord, give me that heart. I want a heart like William Chambers Burns. I want a concern for those who are unconcerned about their souls, the lost, the perishing. We are to rescue them. We're to care for them. We're to tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save. And you see, when you have a burdened heart for the souls of others, you will have a heart like Christ, a heart like thine, a heart divine. Isn't that what the Lord Jesus had? A burden for the souls of men. Thou shalt call him Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. And that's why the Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. The one that we love and fear and know. He has a burden for souls. He had a burden for my soul. I trust that we will have a burden, a greater burden, heaviness, sorrow in our heart for the perishing souls of many people, and that we will seek to win them for Christ. Let me close by speaking to you quickly of William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army. Born in Nottingham, but his labor, his work was in the east part of London. What a place it was, where sin abounded, prostitution, liquor, strong drink. Yet he had a great burden for souls. But I want you to listen to what he said. And I trust that this will challenge our heart. He said, put your ear down to the Bible and you will hear the Savior bidding you go and save perishing souls. But he said, put your ear down to this burdened, agonizing heart of humanity. Listen to its pitiful wail for help. I trust that we will put our ear down. We will be attentive. We will listen. Where the Lord has placed you in your home, it's not just that it can be quiet. There's people around you that need Christ. In your workplace, it's not just to bring in a good income to support you and others in your home. It's so that you might reach others with the glorious message of the gospel and reach them for Christ. The Lord has a purpose. His way is right. His way is perfect. So I trust this morning, Lord, touch our hearts. Whose heart the Lord touched? I need my heart touched. Thou seest me. Thou lookest upon my heart. And if there is sin and iniquity in my heart, wreck me. Give me a broken and a contrite spirit. Give me a burning heart. Lord, come, and every time I open your word, do open the scriptures and show me Christ. Help me to understand it, to take it in, what it meant for him, the Holy One, to bear away my sin. And I trust we'll have a greater burden for the lost, the unconverted. Remember, someone was so burdened for you, they witnessed to you. That's what happened to me. I had a dear man that came and he spoke to me of Christ. And he told me after, I've been praying for you. And he spoke to me. And he told me of Christ and his wonderful grace and his mercy, his love. And I trust that you and I will have a greater burden, not only for our family, but for the community. And those that we work for, you know them by name. You speak to them. You brush shoulders with them. Are you being a witness? So, with regard to what I have said this morning, I trust that we will rededicate our lives to the service of Christ. We're not our own. We're bought with a tremendous price. He has bought us. He has bought us with his precious blood. We're not our own. We're the Lord's. He wants your heart. My son, give to me your heart. He wants your love, your affection. He wants your life. He wants your all. So I trust the Lord will bless his word to our hearts for his name's sake. Amen. We'll just close with a word of prayer, just a brief word of prayer, and then we'll come to the concluding hymn, just a brief word of prayer. Father, we would thank thee once again for thy word, and we do rejoice that thou did touch the hearts of these men, that they followed Saul. Lord, may we follow thee fully, whithersoever thou would have us to go. We acknowledge that in our heart it is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? In me there dwelleth no good thing. But we ask thee to move, to work mightily, graciously, O God, upon our hearts, even this morning. Do write your word now upon our hearts, and do remember us as we sing this concluding hymn. We pray in Jesus' name.